In terms of the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha, so we're going to go now from the composition to the virtues of Surah Al-Fatiha or the blessings of Surah Fatiha. There are a number of ahadith that explain to us the great virtue of this particular chapter. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, I have divided the prayer between myself. So this is a hadith Qudsi that Allah azza wa jal says, I have divided the prayer between myself and my servant. Equally, my servant shall be granted what he asked for. Therefore, when the servant says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah Azza wa Jal says, my servant has praised me. This is a very famous hadith that I'm sure many of us here have heard. Now listen to the first part of this hadith. When the person says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, my servant has praised me. Now, why does Allah Azza wa Jal do this? Now, scholars, believe it or not, have even given us wisdoms as to why Allah responds to this ayah, or the one who recites this ayah in this manner. And they basically have mentioned that this is sort of a personal conversation, Jazakallah. This is sort of a personal conversation between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why some of the scholars, they say that based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the first matter a person is asked about on the day of judgment is their salah, this hadith here refers to you as an individual, that the salah will always be for you and it only has to do with you and nobody else is involved in it except you alone. And how this works is based on this particular hadith, and it goes back to Surah Fatiha and how much we recite it in As-Salah. So there's a personal connection. There's a personal communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Then when the person continues, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah Azza wa Jal says, my servant has extolled me. In other words, my servant has praised me once again. My servant has realized my mercy, my forgiveness, my honor, my protection. All of the sifat or the characteristics or attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, my servant has seen it. My servant has acknowledged them. When he says, Maliki Yawmiddin, Allah Azza wa Jal returns and he says, my servant has glorified me. In other words, my servant has understood that I am the Malik, I am the King. Or in another qira'ah, Maliki Yawmiddin, meaning that I am the King of the Day of Judgment. Maliki Yawmiddin literally means I am the Master of the Day of Judgment. Either way you look at it, the person has understood that they are a true slave to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he continues, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, Allah Azza wa Jal returns and says, this is between me and my servant shall have what he requested. This is between me and my servant will have what he requested. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So you give Allah Azza wa Jal something, Allah gives you something in return. So you say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, I'm going to worship you. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and I'm going to seek help and protection from you. Allah Azza wa Jal in return says, well, if you're going to do that with me, then this is what I'm going to do for you. Then Allah Azza wa Jal grants them whatever it is that they request. صراط الذين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين انعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And this here, this in a general sense, Allah Azza wa Jal says after all of these ayat that this is for my servant and my servant shall have whatever they asked for. Very similar to the previous ayah. صراط الذين انعمت عليهم is the most profound ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha. When it comes to your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal, when it comes to the relationship, establishing a relationship between you and Allah Azza wa Jal, the most profound ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha is Surat Al-Ladhina An'amta Alayhim. We will discuss this probably even maybe more than two sessions, just this one ayah alone, once we get to it insha'Allah ta'ala. In another hadith in At-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is the mother of the Qur'an, the mother of the book, and the seven after repeated verses of the Qur'an, which is a hadith that we've already discussed. In addition to that, from the blessings of Surah Al-Fatiha, as we mentioned, it is also used to cure, not only a physical cure, but a spiritual cure. Physically, cuts wounds. Spiritually, when a person is possessed or a spell or black magic and things similar to that have all affected that individual. Number four, the fourth blessing, is the fact that this is the only surah that Allah Azza wa Jal makes it a point to respond to. And that goes back to that first hadith. Allah Azza wa Jal, out of all the surahs of the entire Quran, it's only this particular surah, Allah makes it very personal. This is the one every single verse I'm going to respond to. So it's not even just reciting the whole surah, but every single ayah, Allah has a personal response to it. In addition to that, from the blessings of Surah Al-Fatiha, is that without it, a person can never perfect the recitation of the Qur'an. Without Surah Al-Fatiha, no one can perfect the recitation of the Qur'an, no one can perfect their prayers, nobody can perfect their worship to Allah Azza wa Jal, unless they have Surah Al-Fatiha. When it comes to the ruling of reciting Al-Fatiha in prayer. Now these are just a couple of side tangents that we want to discuss because they're important and they're very common when it comes to us and our acts of worship. So let's look at that. The ruling of reciting Al-Fatiha when it comes to the prayer. The opinion of the majority of scholars. So this is number one. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i and Imam Ahmad. The three madhahib. Al-Shafi'i, Imam Malik, and Imam Ahmad, rahmatullahi alayhim, they are all of the opinion that it is wajib to recite Surah Al-Fatiha in order to have a valid prayer. So in other words, there's no Fatiha, there is no Salah. Your prayer is completely invalid, and the prayer needs to be repeated. So for these three madhahib, they look at Surah Al-Fatiha as actually a rukn, a pillar of the Salah. And we all know that a pillar of the Salah, without it, the entire act of worship is nullified. So a pillar of wudu would be to perform the wudu in order. So you can't start with your feet first and then go to your head and then go to your arms. It has to be in a particular order based on the ayatul wudu or the verse of the wudu in Surah Al-Ma'idah. That's how Allah Azza wa Jal sent it. So that becomes a pillar of it. So meaning if you don't perform wudu in order, the entire wudu is nullified, even if you've washed all of the limbs appropriately. So the same idea according to these three madhahib. And the evidence that they use is a hadith, an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a hadith that is generally narrated in all the hadith books, literally every one of them. So both of the sahih and all of the sunan books and even some of the other rare sunan books, Sunan al-Bayhaqi, Muwatta and others, they've all stated this one hadith that there is no prayer for the one who does not recite the opening of the book. There is no prayer for the one who does not recite the opening of the book. Now, here's where things get a bit interesting. So that takes care of the three schools of thoughts or the three madhahib. Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad. Now we come to Imam Abu Hanifa. And this is very normal, if you'd like, that the majority of scholars or madhahib would all agree on one particular opinion. But Imam Abu Hanifa will do something completely different. And this is very, very normal when it comes to studying the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah. And this all goes back. It's not because Imam Abu Hanifa was more strict in his wording, more strict in his conditions. No, it goes back to the conditions that he was dealing with when he was in Basra, when he was in Iraq. Now just remember, during that time, Iraq was flourishing with people who wanted to lie against the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, constant ahadith that were fabricated against him. So Imam Abu Hanifa had to be very keen and very, very careful on who he would take from. And he had very, very strict conditions that were even more strict than Imam Malik, more strict than Bukhari himself. Bukhari has certain conditions that how he looks at when it comes to authenticating a hadith. Imam Abu Hanifa's conditions are even more strict than him. So this is why you find that a lot of time his opinions are always seem to be separated from the rest of them. So listen to what Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah now says when it comes to the Fatiha. He says that, and this is also his students, Al-Awza'i, Al-Thawri and others, is that it's not obligatory. It's not wajib for Fatiha to be recited in order for you to have a valid prayer. And listen to his evidence. Now this is what makes him so strong. His evidence is based on the Surah Al-Muzammil, where Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَقُرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Recite whatever is easy from the Qur'an. Subhanallah. So when he brought this verse, he says, look, this is a general verse, and this is a verse that Allah Azza wa Jal put in the Qur'an, and so therefore you can use it, and when you stand for the takbir, recite whatever it is that comes easy to you. So on top of this, al-Shafi'i and a group of other students of Imam al-Shafi'i still upheld the opinion. Now Imam al-Shafi'i is secluded now from the rest of them, because he mentions some additional points to this. And he mentions that it is obligatory to recite al-Fatiha in every raka'ah for prayer. And this is the sunnah of the Prophet and the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the evidence that he uses is, he uses the evidence of the verse of the wudu in Surah Al-Ma'idah. The verse of the wudu in Surah Al-Ma'idah. And the reason why he uses this one particular verse is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically explains that for a valid prayer, you need to have certain conditions. So the fact that the Prophet Allah Azza wa Jal explains what you need for the salah is that you need a valid tahara or cleanliness or wudu. The same principle can be applied when it comes to Fatiha, when you use this verse that Allah Azza wa Jal says that you can recite anything that is easy for you. It's been explained through this one hadith that there is no Fatiha, there is no salah except with Surah Al-Fatiha. That hadith explains this verse. It explains how to use this verse. So when you put both of these opinions together now, this is how you come out of the mas'ala. This is how you understand it. That you can recite anything that is easy for you once you have perfected Surah Al-Fatiha. And that's how you put both of these ahadith together. And this is the opinion of Imam al-Shafi'i. And Imam al-Shafi'i and many, many of the other scholars also supported this logic that he came up with. The point here is, the reason why I've given you this mas'ala is not to discuss fiqh. The reason why is I just want you to see how important Surah Al-Fatiha is even when you derive fiqh rulings. This is the whole point of why we discuss this, is to show you how profound this one surah is. It's not only about aqidah. It's not only about the belief of Allah Azza wa Jal, but in addition to that, even you can derive fiqh rulings from it. We can also find out who is going to Jannah and who is not going to Jannah from Surah Al-Fatiha as well. And I'll show you that when I get to a particular verse. And I'm not telling that right now. Okay? You save the good stuff for later, right? So, inshallah, there's a very strong, strong verse in Surah Al-Fatiha that determines that for us. And Allah Azza wa Jal explains it in another surah. So when we come to it, inshallah, we will discuss it.